Welcome to The Old World Lives, a Warhammer Fantasy Battles podcast. You can find us on Facebook at The Old World Lives, on Instagram at The Old World Lives, and you can reach us by email at theoldworldlives@gmail.com. And now, on to the episode.
This episode of The Old World Lives was recorded without adult supervision. Usual caveats apply. Listener discretion is advised. If you notice any side effects of listening to Griffin Balls for too long, please seek medical attention. Have a nice time and see you all in the next episode.
Hello and welcome to this very special Griffin Balls episode of The Old World Lives, where we will talk about nothing but Griffin Balls and some Mordheim. With me tonight...
Most of Griffin Balls, some Mordheim.
Yes. With me tonight is Niklas. Say hello.
Hello, everyone.
And Jimmy.
Griffin Balls.
Greetings.
Griffin Balls, yes. And me, Jens, the master of the Griffin Balls. Yeah. So, tonight is all about Griffin Balls and Mordheim, but we will start with some hobby progress, maybe.
Yeah, Jens, tell us what you've been up to.
What haven't I been up to? I've been painting orcs, I've been painting Sisters of Sigmar, I've been buying wood elves, I've been doing Mordheim terrain. Stuff has been happening.
You've been busy, it seems.
Yes, I've got like stuff done and everything. So everything is like in a semi-completed stage where it's very hard to actually finish something without just starting another project. So maybe one day I will be done with one project.
How far have you come in your Empire Force?
It's around 2,000. No, it's 1,500 or 1,600 points. So I'm just going to paint up a steam tank when I feel like it and add like a captain or something, and it's going to be 2,000 points.
Are you going to call that project finished for then, or do you have more stuff?
Yeah, I've got some plans.
Sounds like phase one.
Yeah. I've got some. I've got my Sisters of Sigmar painted, and they are on square bases. So I might use those as something. And then I realized that my army is from Middenheim and it's very Ulrich-centric. And if I'm going to do Sisters of Sigmar and Flagellants and all of that shit, I might have to do some other state troops to accommodate the Sigmarness.
Yeah, I do hear that... Nordland is very close to Middenheim, both geologically, and they do have a long-standing truce and think their families are like married into each other or something.
I think so too, but I'm thinking I'm going to do some maybe some Ostlanders or something. Ooh, like that. I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
Sounds nice.
We'll see.
What other close by is Telebekland also there and Hochland?
Yeah, Hochland is pretty close, pretty wooded, and I've got lots of handgunners lying around, so it might be that I'll do. I'll see. I have some things in mind. I'm just going to try and see what colors are going to go best with the basic like spearmen and the handgunner guys to make them pop. So we'll see.
Nice. Hey, yeah, you're also planning some Middenlanders, right, Jimmy?
Oh yeah, I am. I have this box from the Storm of Chaos campaign with the whole Middenheim siege army. So I'm gonna get started
crazy
with
those
eventually. Yeah, it was a crazy buy. I love the models. The funny thing is, I traded all my Ulrich things with Jens like a couple of months before I bought this one. It's like, I got the same things here. The
same things. Buying and selling and rebuying and selling. And
it's like, I was meant to do some Ulrich stuff too.
So will you be doing the Middenheim list?
I will make a pseudo list. I will start with the Middenheim list because I want the Middenheim units finished first and eventually do some, I think it will be Nordland allies, so I can use some other things in the list as well. Like, so I can use the Flagellants and the Hellblaster.
Yeah, I was looking through the Storm of Chaos book recently, and like that Minheim list is really good, actually. We got a lot of cool stuff. Like, they got really good magic items, and like their cavalry is awesome.
Yeah, I just went through the magic item list. I've got the White Dwarf with the Cult of Ulrich list just lying around at work, so I was just perusing it and just got stuck on the magic items. Like, that's a very good magic item. That's a very good magic item.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, two banners come to mind. Like, one makes all shooting attacks against them minus one strength.
Yeah, that's just for the Knights of the White Wolf, but still, they don't have shields, so huzzah for
minus one strength. Also, you could put it on the foot Knights of the White Wolf as well.
Could you? That's
the two Togen Guard.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. Not the White Wolf one, but maybe in the Storm of Chaos one you can use that.
Yeah, yeah, that's also the thing, because there's the White Dwarf one that's also in the annual, and then that's the Cult of Ulrich list, and then there's the Middenheim arm list and so on.
There's slightly different.
They made both lists separately first, then they made the list in the Storm of Chaos books, like both of those armies intertwined into each other.
Yeah.
Check it up. They did. First, there were two separate lists, then they intertwined them into one and the same.
Yeah, I was researching this, and I could only find the annual one and the Storm of Chaos one, and they had some differences. The only real one that I can notice is that the Storm of Chaos one could have same sword troopers.
In the annual one, both lists are present. It's just that one list is more Cult of Ulrich, the other is more Middenland. In the Storm of Chaos, you have both themes in the very same army. So you have the rules, you have the unit choices from the Middenland list, and you have the rules from the Cult of Ulrich list.
Yeah, yeah. But they switched around some units as well. I think like the Warriors of Ulrich that are like militia guys, but kind of great weapons and stuff, they're a core in the Cult of Ulrich list, and then the Storm Chaos is their special, I think.
Yeah. Yes. But they're present in both lists.
Very cool list. I really hope at least one of you, if both of you are doing a Middenland and that cool list, I'm going to be sorely disappointed, guys.
Stuff will be done. I can promise you that.
Crush the week.
Niklas, you know me. It will be done. The question is when. But
yeah, because you have like a bazillion armies and Mordheim army like war bands to make.
Oh, yeah.
But the time is fleeing. You have a lot of time to do a lot of army projects, so I'm gonna.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to all the crazy stuff that's coming out of Yavla.
You won't be disappointed.
So, what are you working on now, Jimmy?
Well, I'm working on a Mordheim warband, obviously, which is for my brother. It's been going on like very slow recently. It's the undead. I will post up the vampire work in progress eventually. Then I also started planning out the Skaven warband for myself, since they were my first warband ever in Mordheim. And I also recently did start removing mold lines from all the orcs that I have, and it's gonna be a lot of them.
Yeah, there's a lot of mold lines.
Oh yeah, and it's and I have a lot of orcs. It's like I have the starter box from 6th edition. I have the battalion box, and I also found all my orcs in the attic. So it's going to be around 150 boys in total. Arrow boys and double chopper boys.
Sweet.
Oh, yeah. Nice. It's going to be a lot of models. But we'll see how many I'll paint up for Christmas. Hopefully as many as I can, because I also have all my 25 boar boys and like 5 or 6 chariots to build.
Really looking forward to that.
Me too. It will be both a blessing and a curse.
Yeah, those chariots are not very fun to put together.
No, and I'm going to swap out all the boars for the newer boar sculpts. I bought a box of Savage Orc Boar Boys just to use those boars on the chariots.
That's a very good idea.
So what are you going to do with the boys?
They will be in the bits box.
Maybe you need to find some legs for them.
Nah, maybe I'll sell them. Maybe I'll just melt the plastics down or throw them away. We'll see.
Or mount them on some
smoke
some crazy
in a crack pipe.
Mount them on other savage orcs.
Buy them all vyverns. Yeah. Mount them on vyverns.
Wow. So yeah, that's practically what I've been up to. Oh yeah, I did also finish my Cult of the Possessed recently. They were ready for a game with Jens, or a couple of games, so to say.
Yeah, the pointy hat guys were very strong.
Oh yeah, and I had the game the other day, and my Dark Soul got a Chaos Armor.
Oh!
And some people might ask, well, those can't get Chaos Armor. Well, of course they can. If you play the scenario Kidnapped, and if you play the Cult of the Possessed and win the scenario, you get two guys, heroes, any kind of hero in the warband rolls on the Shadow Lord table. So if you're lucky, you can have a Possessed with a weapon, a demon weapon, Chaos Armor, or whatever. Or a Possessed can be double Possessed, if you're very lucky. But I rolled for my Dark Soul hero, and it got a Chaos Armor. It's like, yeah, this is going to be nice.
Double Possession doesn't sound super lucky.
It's like two entities in the same body. What could go wrong?
Yeah, imagine them. They're going to squabble all the time. They're going to like draw a line. Like, all right, this is my part of the body. And across this line of kidney, that's your part.
Aww. It would be fun if it's like two different kinds of demons, like one Slaanesh demon and one Nurgle demon.
Yeah, classic sitcom.
Yeah. So, Niklas, what have you been up to?
I've been painting dwarves, lots of them. I was kind of planning out like an empire army, because the problem with fantasy is that all the armies are so appealing, and you could just come up with cool themes for every army, which we all do all the time. Like, oh yeah, it would be cool to build that army.
Yeah, that's the curse of looking through old white dwarves.
Yeah.
So I was sitting around planning an empire army, and then I was like, oh yeah, but I have this dwarf army just standing there all primed and ready. And I got some banner tops, some guy on a training page, some of the newer dwarf standard tops, because I'm not really a fan of the old ones. They're a bit small and not really bannery. So I just told myself, stop procrastinating and start painting your dwarves. So I painted up my miners and my old Bugman Rangers and changed the banner tops on them.
Yeah, those old Rangers look cool as fuck.
Yeah, they're really cool models. And can you believe I found them in like a giveaway box at my game club? All time.
Lucky.
Damn.
Yeah, it's just crazy. It's just like this old like blue ice cream tub. And there they were. It's in a pile of old Necrons and Tyranids and shit.
Speaking of that, I was talking to the guy who got me into Warhammer to begin with back in the early 2000s. He's got the Warcry box and he's keen to get me to play it. But he said that he was at a friend's house yesterday and that guy had like loads of old Britannia stuff just lying around that he wanted to give him. I was like, you can give me the Britannia bits and you can take his old Skaven army and then we can bury the body in my backyard and no one will know.
Yeah, you should definitely get your hands on those Britannia.
Yeah, those are sweet.
Yeah, it's another army that everyone just always wants. Yeah, so I'm keep painting dwarves. I got the first color down on my bolt throwers, my pair of bolt throwers. And I'm going to Wormerworld at the end of the month with some guys, and we're going to play some fantasy. And I want to have 1,000 points of dwarves ready for that time. And then I will ally 1,000 points of Kislev and play against two other guys, I think.
Very cool.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Going to Wormerworld, repping the old world.
Yeah, square bases.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm... He's going to have to fit that in. He's ordered Aeronautica Imperialis as well. They got to fit that in, paint them. But I think I've had time to paint my bolt throwers. It's not that much to do. Yeah, I think that's it for hobby progress. So.
All right. Yeah. Everyone's been doing stuff.
Yeah.
So any new releases or news? I have a news. I have some news. Ooh,
yeah. Tell us.
Yeah. For people who play Total War Warhammer 2. Gotrek and Felix are going to make an appearance. And if you buy September issue of White Dwarf, you'll get them earlier. Otherwise, they will be released the 17th of October.
So Gotrek is going to be a legendary lord, and Felix is going to be a hero accompanying him.
So, yeah, and you can play either with those two guys against armies by themselves, or have them lead armies.
Like, that's crazy.
Well, not lead. I would more say like the armies accompany them, or vice versa. It's like they're just there.
Yeah, it's crazy that they suggested just walking around with them alone on the campaign map.
Yeah. And guess who's making the voice for Gotrek?
I can guess. Brian Blessed.
Yeah.
So did he do the voice for the latest book as well?
Yeah, he did. He did a great job on the voice. He is portraying Gotrek in a really, really good way.
Nice. Yeah, I haven't listened to that one.
So even if you hate Age of Sigmar, the book is good. Because, like, you will agree with all that Gotrek says about this new world. He hates it.
Yeah. Yeah, looking forward to when they release that. Are there any releases, any made to order stuff or anything like that?
No, I think it was only Hobbit stuff, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Stuff. So nothing for our square bases yet, but maybe someday there will be some cool old stuff.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Is there anything you guys really wish that they would have made to order?
I would like the army books.
Oh,
Hardback army books.
Yeah, that would be cool. But now I'm pretty much set. I don't think there's anything that I just need like that. But I don't know.
I would like them to do all the limited edition standard bearers in made to order. I mean, they did release the Beastman one.
That would be pretty cool.
It would be nice to have the Empire one. He looks really, really cool in his full plate armor, holding his banner with his mohawk cut.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah. If they release some like old Chaos stuff, probably I would buy some models just because the old Chaos stuff just really looks good. But yeah, the Army Battle Standard Bearers would be really cool. All right, should we get on to the main topic of the evening?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Mordheim 2019. Like a lot of people already know who listen to us, Mordheim turns 20 this year. And I got invited to the event in Helsinki by Alexander Wienberg, who has the blog echoesofimperium.blog. It all started out with me actually helping him, like sculpting some fish and sending them over. I sculpted like 10 versions of fishes, and I made like 100 of them by casting them. I also helped out by answering questions and stuff. And eventually I got an invitation, and that really started, well, my project, the parody of, well, the parade of parody, because I had started the sculpt on my Sir Swine model.
Oh, could you just tell like what the event was that you got invited to?
Yeah, the event was like, our celebration, our way of celebrating Mordheim turning 20 years. It's taking place in Mordheim in the Imperial calendar 2019. And there's a lot of things going on in the city. It's like some warbands have been there for full 20 years, to be twisted in ways you can't imagine. There's also rumors about this Moonchild within the city, which the Shadow Lord wants to capture and use for a nefarious ritual, while others want to kill him off, or, well, my warband thinks it's Sigmar Reborn.
Okay, so the event itself, there's like a...
It's like
private,
a lot of...
it's a bunch of cool dudes that created a lot of things for Mordheim.
Yeah, yeah. And it was just like everyone was hanging out and playing games, having fun, and just enjoying Mordheim. Well, like I said, after I got the invitation, I kept going with this warband. I had made one model, which was Sir Swine. I was only going to make the model for my homage to Mordheim turning 20 years old. But eventually I started doing more and more models out of Mordheim artwork. So I had the Juggler, which is a well-known piece from the rule book made by the artist John Wigley. I built a bear with the blunderbuss. I think the artwork is a dog, but I don't know.
No, I think it's a bear.
I think it's a bear, but it might be a dog. It's under discussion. I could ask the one who made the drawing, but I made the model that I call the Wanderer, based on a piece of art with a guy wandering. I don't know if he's taking coins from people or giving them away, but he has a huge following of like poor people, and he climbs up on a I don't know what it's called, a big pole, and nails the coins onto it.
Classic weird people behavior.
I made a model that I call the Silent Marksman, the Weird Kisser, which is a guy who's kissing Warpstone. Later on, he's like changed from kissing the Warpstone. It kind of happens. Yeah.
You should not be putting Warpstone anywhere near your mouth.
No. Always wear protective gloves.
Yeah. Any body opening is a no-no.
Yeah.
Or orifices and Birdstone.
It also led to me building the Soon Pistolier, a guy who's wielding two pistols, having his mouth and eyes soon shut. I made a Dark Jester, a Thug, a Pig Fighter. I made a Butcher Ogre, and one of my favorites, the Unwilling Knight. It's just a random guy. Some of these guys like ties up and puts on this horse, dead horse, on a carriage. And push into battle. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a really cool project to follow. And you got a lot of attention on Instagram.
Yeah, sure did. It's like this warband, when I got the invitation, I had built some models from the warband. And it really got me racing into painting and building more and more and more. So with the M19 in the future, back then, it was like, yeah, I'm going to get this done real quick. And I sure did. About the group themselves, I imagine them like a lot of ragtag parade walking through the streets of Mordheim. Each individual is, they kind of lost their mind in all the tumult and chaos and madness that have been occurring here for years. And they allow mutants like Sir Swine and a walking talking pig. And they all banded together, weirdly praising Sigmar in this lunatic state, believing this moonchild that I mentioned earlier, it's Sigmar reborn and is now living within the city. And they have been haunted by visions of this in their dreams. And now they're doing all they can to get this child and put him on the throne for the Empire. This is also during the Vampire Wars, so it's dangerous times.
Is that also during the time of the Three Emperors, or is that later?
Yeah, it is during the time of the Three Emperors.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's a bit about the warband itself.
What rules did you use for the warband?
I play them with what's it called, Marienburg mercenaries, just to have enough gold to buy all the models in the beginning.
That's good.
And for the event, they had some extra rules. You started with 100 gold extra, which you can only use on equipment. They allowed us to make 3 stat increases throughout the warband. It could be on any kind of stat line, on any kind of warband members. You can have 2 wounded henchmen, for instance, or giving them more attacks or whatever. Well, 3 of those. And you could add 3 skills throughout the list, also free, so you could put them on henchmen if you wanted to. I know there was a knife fighting, knife throwing guy in one of the warbands, and it was a henchman, and they don't have access to throwing knives. There was also, you could add up to 3 injuries throughout your warband. So if you had a guy with one eye, of course it's blind in one eye. If you had a peg leg, of course it got a leg wound.
I really like that you can
customize
them a bit more than just using the basic warband rules and say, here, you got 500 gold coins. Do a basic warband. This gives you a bit more freedom to do some crazy stuff.
Yeah, and also they allowed us to go freely on all the kinds of equipment as long as it fit the model and the story of the warband, so to say. So if I made a beastman with a blunderbuss, I could feel him as long as it's fair and fitting. But there were no such things there. But it's possible.
Yeah. Yeah, so leading up to this, I've seen a lot of posts on Instagram, people building stuff for this, like that crazy board the guy was making with the gate.
That's Cady from Iron Sleet. His board was totally blowing my mind. It's one thing seeing it on images, but it's a completely other thing seeing it up close. The attention to detail and everything, so much life in terrain. I have never ever seen such a living board.
Yeah, it was crazy seeing the building of it.
Yeah,
I can only imagine seeing it in real life.
Oh yeah, it was like, for those who haven't seen it, he used the citadel, the fortress, and built a gate, one of the gates into Mordheim. He made a spiraling way up to these gates and a small portion of the city inside, and a lot of dead trees outside, some undergrowths under the bridge leading to the gates. It's I'm gonna post some pictures of this. I think I already have during one of my battles, but we'll make sure everyone can check him out on Instagram eventually.
Yeah, it's got a lot of other good content as well.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna make sure that all of those who attended to the event, their Instagrams will be added to the show notes. There are some who wasn't on Instagram or who don't even use Facebook, but I'm gonna try to get some pictures of their warbands and post them eventually, and give them credit for it, of course.
All right. So, how was it? Like, you've been building this warband, seen a bunch of pictures online, and then when it finally came time to go there?
Yes, like, I hadn't met anyone of the guys attending at all. I've seen everyone's work on Facebook, Instagram, and on Pinterest, everywhere. And it's kind of scary going to meet people who you never know, who you never met on your own. I know there was a bunch of Swedes going there as well, and I met them up at the airport. We were actually taking the same flight, so I got to talk with some of them. Really great guys, and I also stayed with them at this Airbnb. I headed over to Helsinki with those guys, and we had written on Facebook, and we met up with some other guys who were also going to the event, and we met them at the Warhammer store, as we had planned an Inquisitor 28 game for the evening.
Very cool.
Yeah. It was kind of hastily put together. We were using the old Necromunda second edition rules. Just whatever's fitting, use the equipment which is on the models, use two or three of them, do what you want. It's like a big sandbox game. The story was that this was taking place during a war on a planet. The Black Legion and the Night Lords are attacking a planet. And on the other side, where the war haven't reached yet, there's a transport of a stasis casket, which has the remains of one of the most important, what's it called? The people who have died. A saint. Thank you. A very important saint in the ecclesiarchy is within the stasis casket, and it has to get off world as soon as possible. But outside forces had banded together just to try to stop this convoy. The convoy was a couple of inquisitors, their warbands. There was one space marine on each side. On the convoy side, we had had a normal Space Marine. And on the other side, we had a Chaos Space Marine, which was an aspiring champion. And we used the most dangerous rules we could for them. So like strength and toughness 5, 3 attacks each, 3 wounds each. They're supposed to be moving Marines.
Nice.
Yeah. So there was a lot of skirmishes going on this table. We were pushing this casket forward to this platform where we had this some form of transport which was going to take this off world. The whole thing ended up with this NPC Night Lord champion taking control of the casket, and he fled by commandeering the ship. And yeah, so the bad guys always win. It was of course the non-player character which won the scenario, none of the other warbands.
It's a draw.
Yeah. So
they don't even want to know what that Night Lord is going to do with the body.
Oh, I know what it's going to do. He is a creation of mine, and I'll make sure people will know eventually on my own blog, but we'll get to that later.
I'm guessing there'll be some skinning involved.
Oh, it will. Well, after this game, we hanged out, grabbed a few beers, and got a bite to eat, and got to know each other. Some of the people who went there had met others during games like Tormegiddo or The Pilgrim with One Shot Warhammer World. If people are into reading the Blanchitsu things in White Dwarf from, I think it was 2016 or 2017, they made a lot of things about this game called The Pilgrim, which was just a big skirmish game with Inquisitor 28 warbands on Terra.
Yeah, really cool. I've seen some pictures of that.
Yeah.
It's really good Blanchitsu and stuff.
Oh, yeah. And the next day, the guys that I stayed with and I went to the venue. We helped up prepping all the tables, putting up terrain, just helping out, and we had some time over, so we decided to have a pre-M19 game so they could get somewhat familiar with the rules. But eventually, more and more people came there, so it was like a big meet and greet, and everyone put out their warbands on display, and we're like walking around looking at cool models. And at first, I did feel overwhelmed. I mean, I was surrounded by my most favorite hobbyists, which I've been following for some years.
Yeah, that must have been intimidating.
Yeah, it was. But at the very same time, it was like I felt comfortable because everyone was so nice. Everyone was super friendly and were great to talk to. So I quickly got calmed down and was kind of chill to just hang out with them. I forgot about being starstruck, and we talked about our common hobbies and all things between heaven and earth, really. But eventually we finished off the game. Some of those who came there later just looked at us playing the game, so they also got to know like how the rules worked. A lot of them have only played classic Necromunda or the newer games.
So there were people who had never actually played the old...
Exactly. Ooh. They had never played Mordheim. They had looked into the models, they have read the lore, but they never got into playing the actual game back when it came.
Interesting.
And eventually, Tuomas Pirinen dropped in and met up with everyone, and he led us to this bar called the Sori Tap Room, and we had dinner there. And we got a bit of sightseeing on the way. He told us about some history between Finland and Russia and stuff like that. A lot of historical things and some architectural things. And we had a great evening with nerds hanging out and having a great time talking about our plans for the coming day. When the big day came, we had a blast. Skirmishes of Mordheim was taking place all over the venue. It started really quickly with just a small bit of information about when we were to eat. And they drew lots of which guys were meeting who on which table at the beginning. And then it was like a free-for-all.
So you play like the first game organized, and then you just grabbed another person wanted to play against? Or?
Yeah.
Ah, cool.
And there were a lot of cool tables. I talked a bit about Kaida's table. There was two, what we call the challenge tables. One of them was a campsite. So it's like you put one or two heroes and you just have a challenge, just like mano a mano. The other one was a swamp. There was even a shackled zombie on the swamp, which was an NPC. So the zombie itself could move around and attack people who got close to it. With a magnetized chain and everything.
That's very cool.
Yeah, we had this folding table. It was a box, but the table was folded out from the box.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. That was incredible.
It's balls. It blew my mind. I've seen stop motion animations of it. I've seen pictures of it. But seeing it up close, it was like, damn, is this even possible?
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah. We had a graveyard themed table. We had a small village. We had a fighting pit, which was close to the actual pit within the city where the meteor struck. We had this table which was on the great bridge over the river in Mordheim. We had a table with a lot of statues and mausoleums. I also brought a table from my gaming group, which was a dungeon table. Even made some cards so we could randomize the table layout. I think those are it. Oh yeah, they also made a small ruin table, which was the first table I was going to game on. A lot of those newer Age of Sigmar ruins, which they made look into cool Mordheim-esque ruins.
Yeah, just seeing the pictures of those tables must have been incredible. Like, so many people that are such good hobbyists are dedicating like an entire year before this event and taking the tables over there.
Yeah, it's been awesome. Some of the tables were made like within 2 months of the event. It's crazy.
Damn.
I think Kadi's table was made like 2 or 3 months before the event. I know he's been planning it for a long time, but the building progress went really fast and painting even quicker.
So what was the objective of the day? Are you collecting the most gold or experience, or narrative mission?
Every warband had their own narrative. So it's like just up to you what you want to do. So it's like just play and have fun.
Nice.
So it's like a lot of small stories was going about within the venue. Like I mentioned earlier, my personal objective was to get the Moonchild. I didn't get the chance to play on the table with the Moonchild because we had a lot of NPC things, like small NPC warbands, small NPC characters. There were a lot of people who sent NPC models to us, which we can use in our games if we want to. And this Moonchild is a thing that like kind of escalated. It started out as just a small story for just to set the mood. And eventually a lot of us who were going to attend is like, oh, I'm going to get that Moonchild. So it escalated into becoming an NPC, which was a small child with a guardian angel, which really was a monster.
Like in Bioshock then.
Yeah. And the child was born from Morsleeve itself. And this monster found the child within the city and nursed it and had been taking care of it for a couple of years. I think the child was supposed to be like 10 or 11 years old or so during play. And I really wanted to get that child on the throne. You know, to me, it was Sigmar. But it really wasn't. We all know that.
Can you just imagine Sir Swine swearing fealty to the child?
Oh, yeah. I swear.
All right, so what was your first game?
My first game was against a guy named Christian. He had a couple of Skaven, very ghostly Skaven. They have been in the city collecting Wordstone. Or Warpstone, like they call it, for all those 20 years. and they have been caught in a state between life and death and are in corporeal forms. You base the models out of a lot of the Nighthaunt models from Age of Sigmar with Skaven kits, and he painted them so good. He used some kind of really high contrast green colors on them, so the green is kind of like glowing.
Nice. Yeah, I saw some pictures of that. Crazy. Yeah. Rat ghosts.
Yeah, and our first scenario was a Birdstone hunt, so we had a small ruined table. It was kind of like, I think it's a Warcry table sizes, or like for those who play Kill Team, I think it's kind of same size. So it was small. It was
like cramped. Three by three?
No, I think it's like 3 by 2 or something, or 1 by 2. I don't know. It's small. It's not good for shooting warbands, that I can say. Oh, before the game started, I also got a chance to greet and meet John Blanche. Really nice guy.
That's cool.
I didn't get a chance to sit down and talk with him, but since there was a lot of things going on, it was like 26 people, so he was swarmed and talked with those guys he knew from before, so I didn't get a chance to just sit down and talk.
You didn't give him any free swag from our podcast?
I didn't have any swag with me. I forgot it at home.
Yeah, it's the curse of the stickers. You always forget him. I always forget him.
Yeah,
well.
Yeah. John did play with us, all of us, so to say. He had like a band of ghosts from Mordheim, which would appear and disappear from tables whenever he felt like it, because he can't sit and play like us, like the rest of us can, because of his health. So he just joined in quickly, rolled a few dice, had very simple rules for his models, so he just showed up, killed a bunch of guys, and then disappeared.
Booga booga. I'm on my way.
It was a couple of dead horses and a ghostly rider on his ghostly steed.
I thought you were going to say some dead horse, but that's just me. That's just where my mind went.
So they like roamed down the streets, killed who they could, and returned to the lands of Mor.
Oh, that's pretty fitting, like, just like ghosts appearing out of nowhere and just stabbing dudes and then just disappearing.
So during my and Christian's game, we were supposed to pick up Birdstone in these ruins. So since the table was small, we had to act quickly. And very, very fast, a lot of small skirmishes happened across the board. And it was cool looking because Skaven was like ghostly slinking between the ruins and quickly grabbing the stones before me because my guys are slow. And they sent this pawn to stop me in my tracks. So he ran in, picked the stones up, and retreated with his heroes, sending his small minions to take care of me. And I remember he swarmed my ogre, and his spectral vermin was somewhat brave for a race normally known for the cowardice. It's like he succeeded every leadership test. It was like, yeah, I'm going to swarm you. So he killed off my ogre. And eventually, my leader, he fought one of his black Skaven, and he fell in combat, sadly. Oh. And I think I got one of 4 possible stones. He got the rest. And when we did the post-game roll-ups, my leader died.
Of course he did.
And everyone was like, well, if you don't like it, just re-roll this. It's like, no, I'm going to go with this, because now I have a new leader. My juggler.
He seems right to the odds.
Yeah. So otherwise than that, no other models died permanently. So my ogre did survive, and the other guys did survive, but my leader, he's gone. And we kind of joked about how quick leaders die in campaigns. It's like, yeah, they always die after the first game. And so mine did.
Well, I would have voted for Sir Swine to be the successor, though.
He didn't have enough experience for it. Because the juggler, he actually killed a guy during the battle. So he was the guy with the most experience and the highest leadership, so he got the leader role.
So how does he work? Does he walk around throwing knives, or does he just go around and backstab people?
I use the knife fighter skill, so he can throw knives and can throw up to 3 knives. Also, nice. I also gave him eagle eyes so they can throw them further. So he was like juggling knives all over the place.
Nice.
So with some extra cash and some experience in my warband, I leveled up a few guys, and eventually I had my second game. I only had 2 games because the second game was more of a photo session than a game. Yeah, I actually teamed up with Kadi, who made the amazing game table. We played on that table, and we were supposed to guard the gates to Mordheim against an nefarious, alliance, I think, between the undead and those spectral Skaven that I met before. So,
well, they're half ghosts, so...
Yeah. So I got to meet Christian again, and Christian teamed up with a guy called Alexander. There were a lot of Alexanders on the event, so...
If someone would do some research and like which name is the most likely to get into narrative skirmish gaming, it would be Alexander. Yeah.
Yeah. the Skaven and the Undead Alliance was trying to storm the gates and gain a foothold within the city, and we were supposed to stop them. To win the scenario, they needed to walk out the board edge with 2 models. We thought it was going to be an easy game, but it wasn't. We had some special rules because there's only 3 ways into the city. It's the gate, and then there was a crack in the left piece of the wall and the right piece of the wall, and you had to climb up the walls to get there. There was some caves beneath the castle, so we said, if you go into the caves, you gain access to a small tunneling system which the Skaven made before, and you can appear in a random building, and if you manage to take an initiative test, you can charge out from the building. So, it's going to be a lot of ambushes. And it was. Skaven being quick models, movement 5 and 6, they...
And with good initiative.
Yeah, so they just ran towards those caves and got in. The following turn, there was a lot, and I mean a lot, of diving charges.
Ouch.
Our first turn, I pushed my unwilling knight through the gates, and he stood up against 3 direwolves for 3 full turns.
That's very impressive.
Yeah, it is. We saw an epic struggle of survival of a man being tied onto a dead horse cart who have nowhere to run. But in reality, we just had rolled shitty dice. We all failed at doing what we wanted to do, kill the other guy.
Yeah, there's nothing more unsatisfying than just having like a 3 or 4 turn combat when it's like, oh, I didn't hit you. Oh, you hit me, but you didn't wound. Oh, I didn't hit you. Oh, you hit me, but you didn't wound.
But there were all kinds of small narratives going on the player field, and we were taking photos like crazy. We even played around with a smoke machine, adding some mist to our photos. The game should have taken like 20 minutes, but it took us over 3 hours to play it.
That's a long time.
Oh, yeah. And most of the time, we were just taking pictures. So during this game, my ogre took the right flank, trying to close the way in on the right broken wall. And Kari's ogre took the left side. But like I told you earlier, the Skaven took the caves in instead of going up the wall. So the Skaven swarmed the city through the ambush rules that we had made. And the undead climbed through my side of the broken wall. It was the vampire along with all the, what's it called, the ghouls in the warband.
Yeah, and vampires and ghouls are very hard hitting.
Yeah, and upon the walls, I had my silent marksman, shooting off bolts at crossbow, doing nothing. At his side, he had a halfling, which killed off, I think, one of the ghouls, actually. So he was a better shot than me. But the vampire closed in, instantly killed my ogre, because critical hits are dangerous.
Damn.
Yeah. So the Skaven started to swarm the city, and like I told you earlier, a lot of diving charges. I think it was like one out of seven Skaven who didn't succeed with their initiative test. So around the corner of a house, Sir Swine stood with his trusty pig warrior.
Yes.
Fighting three Skaven and the Eshin Sorcerer, along with two other Skaven, diving charged on my Mad Meg model. Mad Meg was the model that everyone who attended to the event got in beforehand. It's like the what's it called? The poster
the mascot.
Woman. Yeah, the mascot of the whole event.
Nice. Did you ever shoot the blunderbuss from your bear?
Oh yeah, I did.
Nice.
You can only shoot it once, right?
I can only shoot it once. The bear did kill off one of the dire wolves with it. Standing in the gates.
Showing who's the apex predator of Mordheim.
Yeah. As soon as the knight died, he shot it. Because then there were no knight in the way.
Nice.
I think he hit like six models, but only wounded one. Blunderbusses are really bad. For those of you who don't know how blunderbusses work, you draw a 16-inch line, 1 inch wide. All models, friend or foe, are hit. And they can't hide behind terrain or anything because the blunderbuss...
Yeah, it's like the Mordheim version of the Glaive super heavy tank, except it's shit.
Sounds pretty good, though.
It can be good. I mean,
that's the problem. It sounds very good. But
yeah, it sounds good, but it's really bad. It's just strength 3.
Yeah, but it's fun to scare people because as soon as they know you have a blunderbuss, people shit themselves.
Yeah, but you can have really good blunderbusses if you want to meta game. You can buy some black powders, like superior black powder. Then it gets +1 strength, which is good.
Yeah.
Mm.
And can you eagle eye a blunderbuss?
No, you can't, but dwarves can add a dwarf can add 3 inches to its range. Because they are really good with weapons, as long as they have an engineer.
Cool. Dwarves, you say?
Oh, yeah. Well, after the vampire slayed my ogre, there was a very valiant mercenary armed with only knives, who diving charged a vampire, almost killing it with a critical hit too. He jumped down, struck the vampire. The vampire had to take 3 armor saves. Failed 2 of them. The vampire has 2 wounds. But then vampire had step aside, which is a 5-up save after armor saves in close combat. Managed to save 1. So the vampire survived. And struck back.
So close.
Yeah, and struck back, did nothing on the guy. I think there was another round of combat, and the vampire just knocked him over. And he did survive, though, because the following turn, the vampire only has to wound him and fail to wound him. So, yeah, Ranald had his eye on this one. while this was happening, I think Sir Swine killed off his Black Skaven counterpart from the other warband,
yes.
Like second in command guy.
Go, Sir Swine.
Yeah, Sir Swine, my man.
Your pig man.
Yeah.
Man pig.
My man pig. My man bear pig. well, wasn't a lot of things other than this going on in the game is like small skirmishes, and eventually some Skaven ran off the table. The game ended. And after this...
Did you manage to hold the gates? Or
no. Well, I held the gates, but the Skaven who slipped through the basements of the buildings ran out from the table and won the game for the nefarious alliance.
All right.
But no one walked in through the gate, so I'm happy with that.
It's like the magic. I mean, it's technically successful because no one attacked
it. Yeah. Those pesky Skavens. The thing is, I routed before. It's because my guys routed that the Skaven won, because when I routed, Sir Swine wasn't upholding the Skaven anymore. So they could just run out.
Damn you, Sir Swine.
Yeah, I blame Sir Swine. Or my juggler. I think he got a contract going to a circus somewhere. I don't know. Putting up a show, he said. After
he's
the
going
game,
solo.
Yeah. After the game, there were still a lot of games going on. So we walked around, took a lot of pictures, kept looking at models, gawking at everything. And when everyone had finished playing, Tumas held his Mordheim presentation preview, which he was still working on then, where he told us about how they started working on the project, some of the thoughts behind it, why did he do this and not that, why did the warbands, which they have in the rulebook, why would those warbands be there, and all that. And he also left us a little secret about the Twin Tail Comet that crashed into the city. One tail was the Shadow Lord, which G-Dub actually thought was Bellacor for some reason, but hashtag not my Shadow Lord. Yeah. Shadow Lord is another demonic entity. And the other tail in the comet was also a demon which crashed into the rock where the Sisters of Sigmar live. Within this demonic entity, there was a Child of Light. And when this entity had been cleansed with enough warp stone, the child came forth. And the child is actually a herald of Sigmar. I think her name was Johanna Heldenhammer. And she was supposed to be like Archaon's counterpart. But that never came into fruition because Tumas stopped working at GW. But I like this kind of alternative timeline thing. So that's going to be my Mordheim, actually. I like it more than how it turned out to be.
Yeah, it's really cool.
He even made some rules for her in her young state when she's like just a little girl. She had this guardian which always follows her, and she can't fight herself, so this guardian does the fighting for her. And it's like a patronus, I kind of want to call it. So it can take many shapes. Often it's just a bird holding the hammer of Sigmar flying through the air, glowing like hell. It can be a fish floating in the air. So yeah, it can be whatever you want it to be.
But she was not the Moonchild, right?
She was not the Moonchild.
So the Moonchild was just like
that
some
was just,
other
yeah.
NPC that they came up
yeah.
with.
Yeah, that was the NPC created for the event. And he let us know on Facebook about Johanna after the event.
So maybe that's the person that your warband should try and put on the...
They should try. Yeah. I know he's going to write some rules for her grown up, and they will match the rules for Archaon in 6th edition.
Oh, wow.
Because
that's
some pretty powerful
rules. Yeah.
Yeah, because she was, like I said, the Herald of Sigmar, and he is the Herald of Chaos. She was supposed to be the light counterpart. And
she was supposed to be Valtan.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. And after this, it was like hanging out and more beer. A lot of beer.
Went in Finland.
This weekend. Yeah, went in Finland. Do what the Finns do. Drink beer. So this whole experience of Mordheim 2019 was amazing. I met so many of my hobby heroes. I was making new friends. And of course, I had a lot of more plans and vision of what I wanted with Mordheim when I came home.
Yeah, I can only imagine. It must have been such a hobby boost.
Oh, yeah. And I've been tying some new connections. Going to try to do some more Mordheim with some of these guys eventually. We have been talking
about...
Yeah,
quite a lot of them live in Sweden as well, right?
Yeah. I think it's like 5 or 6 of us. And we were 20 people playing, so...
Yeah, that's
25%.
That's
yeah.
Chunk.
Yeah.
Also, Finland isn't that far away.
No, it isn't.
Just unfortunately.
So, and there's been talk about Mordheim 2020, which will be more open. So it's going to be like, we don't know if it's going to be yet, but
here's an idea.
Yeah.
Why not do like go to the US to like California, and then you can have Mordheim 420. Mind blown.
Mind blown in so many ways. Yeah, but there's been loose talk about hosting another event next year, which will be open for everyone, and as long as there's enough spots. And
so, you think this will be in Finland as well? In that case,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, Alexander, who hosted the event, he talked about doing the whole thing again next year, but he will need more help, and he just need to know if he has enough time for it. Because he made a really good job hosting this. This was his largest event yet. So it's like, otherwise I've only had like one game with like 5 or 6 people. And now it's a whole venue full with, I think it was 8 or 10, somewhere between 8 and 10 tables. And they were all full of people.
That's playing. Very impressive to get that together. And people flying in from other countries.
Yeah. And all the warbands is like, some people had the same kind of warband, like Sisters of Sigmar, but all the warbands were so different in building ways and how they play them.
Cool. Nice.
So even though people use the same plate for their building, they all were individual warbands. I think the most represented warbands were Sisters of Sigmar and Cult of the Possessed. So it was really nice. We will try to steal some images from across the web and post them on our Instagram, and of course give them credit for it, so all your listeners can see what was going on there and see all those wonderful warbands. It's like, I love converting, and these guys loves converting, so it's gonna be a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, like you started working on more and more time as soon as you got home, it feels like.
Yeah,
it's like you've been really busy playing more time, like all the time.
Yeah, sure have. It's like the first thing I did when I came home was like, I have these couple of hired swords that I need to put paint on. And so I did. And then I was like, I don't like the head of my witch hunter captain. I'm going to swap it. So I painted him a new head and swapped it. And then I started doing the cult. It's like, I like how my wanderer looks. I wonder how it would look like if he had
dunce hats. Dunces.
Oh, it looks nice. I'm going to do a warband. I still need to build like another possessed for a warband because I really want to use 2 of them.
Yeah, you'll find something to use for that.
I'll do so eventually. I did find a model in the hobby store today, which I think I might want to use. Since since I based my first one on the Weird Knob Shaman and Gutrot Spume, using the torso of one and the legs of the other, I kind of have like he's got a lot of gut and size. He's really big, and I was thinking I need another model which is as big. So I've been looking into using the War Chanter from the Age of Sigmar range of the Orcs.
Yeah,
guy with the drumsticks, removing the armor, resculpting the upper torso, doing demonic shit. And just have him wear pants.
No.
Dunce hats. You. Dunces. Dunces.
No.
Dunce hats. You. Dunces. Dunces.
For him, no robes. He's going to wear striped pants if I do this.
Cool.
Very fashionable.
Oh, yeah. I just need to find out what kind of mutations I want to give him, if any.
What color is his pants going to be? Red and black?
No, it's going to be yellow and black. The kind of gritty yellow that I'm doing on my other models.
Yeah.
More like beige model.
Nice. Yeah. I would like to try out more time. There's no one really close to me that plays it. If anyone is listening to this and lives in London and wants to play more time, hit me up so I can also...
There has to be at least one person living in London who plays more time, right?
Yeah, it has to.
feels like,
and,
right?
Yeah, and hopefully you don't play with the treehouse list from the, what's it called, the Shadow Walk? No, Shadow Warriors, or the Sling Spam. Just please don't do that. No one likes that.
Don't give people ideas, Jimmy.
They already have the ideas.
Maybe I'll try my hands at a dwarf warband. Got some spare guys.
They're pretty fun.
Yeah, they are fun. Slow, fun, and they're late bloomers in a campaign.
Yeah.
Well, dwarves always are.
Oh, yeah. But they always get a lot of gold.
Nice.
Like I tell everyone, if you're going to make your first warband, do it from the rule book. But if you really want to do dwarves, go for dwarves. Just put them on run bases, please. Make every model into an individual, please.
Yeah, I got a lot of spare guys from different units. So I think they'll be cool. Like a miner here and a thunder there and a slayer.
And if you're really cool, you will buy the armor for the models.
Yeah, be a cool guy. Yeah. Buy the armor. Because it's very useful. It's expensive as fuck, but when it saves your guy, you'll be very thankful.
Oh, yeah. I think when Jens visited me recently, he made so many 6-up armor saves on his light armor. It's like, this is crazy.
I do it just for the look on your face.
And I hate it.
Yeah, to see the disappointment in your eyes when you don't.
The disappointment followed by despair is like, no, now he's going
to
kill me.
I get to hit you back. Yeah.
Speaking of that, why won't we talk a little about your trip here? It's like, it's Mordheim related.
It's very Mordheim related.
Yeah, it's a follow up to this.
Yeah, it's a follow up.
Yeah, I took a little day trip last weekend up to Jimmy's place. And we
Invited my brother. Yeah, invited my brother and played some Mordheim.
Yeah. Had a nice first Mordheim three-way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was wonderful. This was the debut for my Cult of the Possessed, so...
the debut for my Sisters of Sigmar as well.
Yeah. I was, like, so scared I wouldn't have the guys painted up in time because, like, I was planning... like 2 weeks beforehand, it's like I'm gonna paint these guys up. I'm gonna paint them in time this time, and I didn't.
So how long did you stay up to paint those guys?
Not long enough. Well, I stayed up like to 4 a.m. painting the last guy the day before you were arriving.
That's very good of you to finish him.
And he was just the extra model, not one that I was gonna use.
But you did end up using him.
Yeah, I did. So like 3 days before you arrived, it's like I painted up my whole warband in 3 days and it felt amazing, actually. I never thought I would do it.
Well, I believed in you.
They turn out great as well.
Thank you. But they're very, very tall. So you have to
those pointy hats were hitting the roofs.
Yeah, and the models themselves are very tall because they're like 2 heads taller than normal Mordheim models.
But they are mutants.
Yeah, it's like you have to be this high to join the cult. I kind of see it like they've been exposed to Warpstone. Of course, they grow tall.
Yeah, the Chaos likes big boys.
Yeah,
so.
Tall, thin boys.
That's what they need.
With cone-shaped heads.
Mm-mm-mm.
So how did the game go?
Badly for me in the beginning. I just
very good for me in the beginning.
Yeah. But not many of my girls actually died. It was like one girl missed 3 games in a row, and then everyone else just came out fine.
I think that was what we went for all the three of us after the first game. No one died. But the second game, my possessed Korgla Maneater, he was holding up like 3 or 4 sisters from...
4 sisters with big fucking hammers couldn't take him down. He was on
from
one
turn
wound.
One. Yeah, from turn one. Eventually, the turn before the last, I think we played like 7 turns.
Yeah, it was the turn
it was
before
a long
the
game.
Last.
Yeah, the turn before the last, he lost his last wound, and he ended up dead. But it was fair and fitting.
Yeah, he must have gotten the shit kicked out of him because there were so many Sigmarite. I was hitting that guy on fours and then wounding him on threes, and I just couldn't get a wound through. I was rolling so many twos. God damn it, my dice were
But I can see
horrible.
It in front of me, how he's like covering himself from the hammer blows, trying to strike back, and eventually they got to him. Strike to the head.
Boom. He did.
But luckily, I had a lot of gold because I think our first game was the ambush scenario. That was during the ambush scenario.
Yeah, so, you got like 7 warp stones.
Yeah, it's like I got 7 warp stones from the scenario and then a couple more after the game.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of gold. So I could buy a new one with more mutations. So I was happy. And we had a couple of single games, like 1v1.
You put up a video of me fighting your brother's warband with my Skaven.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if you put that on your feed or if you put that on the Old World Lives feed.
Only the Old World Lives feed. I had the... I had our ambush scenario on my own.
Ah, that's right.
And do expect more live feeds from Mordheim games in the future. Eventually, should we put them up on YouTube or something? Doing proper reports?
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, it'd be great to see. Because you guys don't live that far from each other, so you can definitely do some more of those, I hope.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jens is building a table. I can go visit. We can film, put something up. Just have fun.
Yeah, and I'm putting together a little warband for playing against Jimmy. So I'm going to show you guys some pictures after we've done recording.
Nice. Yeah, I'm probably going to have to go through my dwarf box after this and find some guys.
Do it.
You
I might
better
have
do it.
Some like an old school dwarf from the that you can use for the Bugman Rangers unit if you want more. I think I've got one or two like really old guys.
That'd be awesome, actually. I was just thinking maybe I need some more range guys.
Yeah, I'll look through my stash and see what I have.
This is dangerous. Yes. This is dangerous talk, guys.
Yes.
It is.
All right. So do you have anything more Mordheim related stuff planned in already? Penciled in your calendar?
Not yet. I'm working on the table and I'm working on a new warband. But the table will be done in a few months, I guess. And then I'll have some December Christmas Mordheim bash at my place.
Sweet.
Nice.
I'm planning on starting a campaign, which I'll be partially arbitrating and playing in, which will start in 3 weeks, actually. We're kind of bouncing ideas between each other, what kind of setting we want to do, but we know we want to use the Mordheim 2019 warband starting rules so we can make our own unique warbands from the beginning.
How many guys are you?
It's gonna be me and 3 people from town.
That's a big group to play. Everyone gets to play some games then.
Yeah, so it's gonna be my Cult of the Possessed. There's gonna be a Blood Dragon and his undead entourage. There's gonna be some Norse Marauders as well as a band of Skaven. I haven't got an answer from my brother yet, but if he's going to join, he might use his Reikland mercenaries, or if I manage to finish his warband in time, the undeads that I'm working on, he will play those.
Nice.
You have to do an undead model of that that champion guy that he loves so much.
Maybe. I do have a spare one somewhere.
Good. Good, good, good. I think that's the like epitome. If I was going to do an undead warband, I was just going to do like zombie models of all my opponent's characters.
just to be like, wait until that guy dies. I'm going to raise him as a zombie and he's going to kill your dudes.
That happened a lot during a campaign back in 2012 to 2014 when I lived in a nearby town. We didn't use a lot of painted models. Well, I did, but the others didn't. And my brother played undead back then, and he's got like a zombie version of one of my old possessed. He's got at least two of my Skaven models as zombies. Huh. And other people's heroes, because they have this spell called Awakening. And if a hero dies, they become a zombie with their old stat lines. No skills.
Yeah.
They have their old stat lines and their equipment. So we had
very powerful.
Yeah. So we had a gunslinging zombie with ballistic skill 5. It was like, dude, this is crazy. I think he had two zombies with crossbows. One of them was a young blood and the other was a champion. It's like, this isn't fair. Nice. And the possessed that he got from me, she was very, very good with her stat lines. It's like toughness 5, strength 5, 4 attacks. This is a zombie with movement 6.
For free. Thank you.
Yeah. It's like, no. Oh, no. Imagine her being alive. She had so many goddamn good skills. It's like, yes, she's got step aside, strike to injure, yada, yada, resilient. And her mutations too. She got to keep her mutations. So she had like black blood, which is for every wound you cause on her, every model in base contact, friend or foe, takes a strength 3 hit. She also had a tentacle, so she could remove an attack from one guy. It's like, no, she's dangerous.
What kind of character was she? Was warband?
She was a possessed. She was a possessed.
Ah.
Yeah, she was part of the possessed warband, which I based this magister and this warband on, actually.
Nice.
Yeah.
Comes around.
Yeah. The funny thing is, Korgla Maneater, the possessed that I have with all the tentacles, this is the version 2 of him. The first one has extra arms, but he still have an extra mouth somewhere on his body, and this one has one in his armpit.
That's a perfect place for a mouth.
The perfect place. So he can eat people. And the Magister, the old one, I based on this old Changeling model. And the new one is based on the new Changeling model. So they're very similar to each other. And the similarities doesn't stop there. Because after he gained his first skill, I went to the Shadow Lord, because when you level up a skill with a mutant or a magister in the Cult of the Possessed, you can go to the Shadow Lord and ask for a reward. You can get extra mutations, you can get demon weapons, chaos armor, you can get gobbled up. It's like you become a you become a spawn and wander into the city. Or you can do it like me and roll double 6 and become possessed. which my old magister also was in this campaign back then. So it's like, awesome. Yeah, this is happening all over again with the same kind of models. It's like,
you must have been losing your mind when you rolled that double 6.
Yeah, he's like, holy shit, double 6. You know what that means, guys? He's possessed. And when he gets possessed, he can't use mundane armor or weapons. So he can only use chaos armor or demon weapons. He doesn't have either yet. He loses D3 skills. Luckily, he had no other skills. He gains +1 attack, +1 strength, +1 wound, and +1 weapon skill. It's like, dude, he's crazy.
Do you have a name for the demon that's possessing him?
No, not yet. I'm actually working on it. I have a mutant that also got possessed the game after. That one has a name, but I don't remember it since I don't have the papers at home.
That's really cool. Writing backstory to demon can be very versatile in the future. So, you could even chuck that in like to your Empress Children storyline.
Ooh,
demons are immortal.
They are, and they exist on all planes. And as we know it, the old world exists in the same universe as
Just look at Baelicor.
Yeah,
both settings.
Yeah. Also, they all talked about this back, way back in GW, because Terra our world and the old world, they're all built on the same template.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, you seem very pumped up for Mordheim. This is awesome.
Yeah.
It's the best game out there for skirmish.
Oh, yeah. The best skirmish game. If you say something else, you're mostly wrong, but I won't argue with you.
All right. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we close this segment?
Nah, I'm good.
I'm fine.
Yeah. So expect more than pictures on our Instagram account. If you haven't checked it out already, go to Instagram and find The Dull World Lives. And if you don't have Instagram and think it's just some trendy app for teenagers,
then you're wrong, and hipsters.
Then you're wrong, because it's like you can sort through it and just have endless pictures of Warhammer stuff that you love. You should go to our page as well and see who we're following, because we've been just going around picking out the top fantasy posters out there. Just, our feed is constantly full of great fantasy people all the time. It's so great. I check it all the time.
And every time I check them out, I want to build a new army.
It's dangerous.
Yeah, that's the danger of Instagram. It's too much inspiration.
Yeah.
All right. So with that, we will head out. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
Oh, we forgot to talk about Griffin Balls.
Yeah, Griffin Balls.
We can take that next episode. That's fine.
Yeah.
next episode will definitely be the Griffin Ball episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, to listening to my ramblings. And remember, stay square.